And you're very welcome back to the 9 till noon show here on Highland Radio. Just a wee update from a message we read out just before 9. Someone had sent it through last week and just sent in a clarification, which we're more than happy to do. I was wrong last week when I said that the FAI was charging €250 to €135 per ticket for upcoming matches. Those prices were a pack of three matches. Sorry for misleading you. I think that's a good idea or a good deal. Okay, that's very good. Listen, and fair play to you for clarifying that. But there are other sporting events that people are very much priced out of. A caller says, I was at the Rosnalla 12th of July celebrations and I'm disappointed that you didn't mention how good and peaceful the celebrations were. The minority of this county are constantly overlooked. So I just want to say we had a fabulous day with marching bands and a real good family fun day. Well, like, to be honest with you, the 12th of July celebrations in Rosnalla always pass off without incident. And they're always a good family day. I would have thought it would have been a bit strange if I had said, oh, great, the Rosnalla passed off without passed off peacefully. I mean, is there any expectations that it would be otherwise? I don't understand that text, to be honest with you. I don't have any recollection of anything other than Rosnalla celebrations being peaceful and a good family day out. That's always been the case. And that's 44 years of memories of that, effectively. So there you go. Well, they did pass off peacefully, of course. Hi, Greg. So sad about that RTE programme. What women have to put up with. I'm going to have to watch that. Just yesterday was so busy and I was too tired. I think it didn't start till 9:30. I understand why some of those shows are on later, but a lot of the current affairs stuff, which I don't really watch much of anyway, but 9:30, 10:30 sometimes. Maybe if the council would make decisions and implement changes on the dire infrastructure and its vast collection of defective concrete houses, instead of making stupid decisions like no bikes on the diamond. 10 to 10, hospital interview, so no one can ask them questions as usual. Right, I kind of know where you're coming from. Sometimes people are made available close to the top of the hour. And there are no. This was a lady that had an experience in the hospital, a regular listener, Breach. So that doesn't apply in this case, but thank you. Greg saw a video of Dublin. It looks like a different country, a different part of the world. If you'd add Dublin, Dublin's always been multicultural, but it certainly is now. There's no doubt about that. It's been like that for quite some time too. It's not something that happened 3 years ago. My biggest fear are e-scooters constantly on our footpaths here in Buncrana. They're not abiding to any rule. And another thing, they should be banned from parks. Just my view. Thank you kindly. Well, scooters should not be on the footpath. That is the bottom line. They have to be on the road. They have to be ridden the same place and in the same manner that you would ride a bicycle. So maybe there's some enforcement required. When are you going to discuss the excess deaths since 2021? None in 2020. There's no excess deaths in 2021. I'll go through the stats if you want. Now, there was a cyber attack in 2020, which pushed a lot of the data, not just deaths, but births and marriages too, into 2021. But the data is, I mean, there's one fella that's gone and checked out RIP.ie, but the official data suggests there was no excess deaths in those years. I'm not going to argue with you about it, but I'll run through the official figures for you a little later on in the programme, if you like, because I did take a note of them because I anticipated that type of message. Maybe Donegal County Council should contemplate that the bikers socialising peacefully in the Diamond is a tourist attraction, and that adds to the vibrancy and attractiveness of Donegal Town to visitors. That's how I feel about it. You know, I love that buzz of a busy town centre, but as I say, I just have to make sure, don't I, that there are those that I was going to say maybe there are those that don't like the bikes. We've had no messages, no texts yet at all in that regard. As I say, we just need to, what kind of a town centres do we want? A caller says his son put a deposit on a car through a garage pending a car loan. The loan did not come through. Where does he stand in terms of getting his deposit back? I would have thought that, you know, any garage that's very keen on their reputation would just say, sorry, fella. Hopefully we can do business into the future. There's your deposit. I would have thought the deposit was to hold the car. Just let us know as the garage says that they won't refund that deposit, because we can chase that up and ask what the policy is there. I've not heard tell of that before, but anyway. Good morning, Greg. So the rainy day account was really the buying the public vote account, it seems. When are we going to talk about housing immigrants and is it worth it? Read that one out already. Terrific weekend of hurling yesterday was a colourful spectacle in a packed Croke Park of pace, outrageous skill, intensity and physicality between two free scoring teams without a shred of controversy over 80 minutes. Huge turnout of Rebel fans with that wall of red willing the ball over the bar. Most neutrals will be hoping the Banner win their fifth title as Cork have 30 secured already. What a wonderfully written text. Thank you very much for that. And, you know, when you see the vibrancy and the pace and the skill of the game, and then when you see the, I think, the great product we have, the great footballing product as well, and especially when you watch the Euros, I watch some of the Euros here and there, and it's bland. It's bland. You know, we talk an awful lot about sort of the defensive football here, for an example, or, you know, the lateral passing, and we get frustrated and say, right, come on, lads, come on, girls, push forward, or whatever it might be. The British commentators call that patient football. That's what they call it, patient football, whereas we're raging for something a bit more attacking at times. Hi, Greg. In relation to the speed of the election count in the UK, take a look at the resources they use and the overall cost. In relation to elections here, own the mainstream or have greater influence on it than you can own the election. I'm not referring to your good selves in Highland. You do a superb job. The South Dublin bubble dictates our national media. They all move in the same circle, be that print or radio or visual, and bounce off one another in their eco chamber or their echo chamber. Hell, they even have the same agents, managers, not in the real world and certainly not in rural counties. Look, I agree with you, and I've called this out for the longest time. There is a Dublin bubble, and a lot of the journalists, no disrespect to them, a lot of the media, a lot of the celebs in inverted commas, they all move in the same circles. I do get where you're coming from. And of course, too, we have to consider that it's a different vote in Britain, isn't it? First past the post. That being said, we still struggled. I know we still did transfers and what have you for the EU's, the European election, so that doesn't count. But it's quicker because you're just counting ballots. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 for him, 1, 2, 3, 4 for her, and that's it, all done and dusted. It's okay, doke. You're very welcome back to the programme. We're joined on it now by Paul. Hiya, Paul. Good morning to you.
Greg, how are you getting on, Greg?
I'm doing okay. And how's the young fella getting on?
Oh, no, they're grand. They're right on as well there, Greg. Thank God they're all right. Like,
no, it's a big shock, though, when you hear about it, though, isn't it? And you think the worst.
As long as you go there and they're all right, like, that's the main one, you know what I mean? Like,
that's so it, all right. So this is about your son who was involved in a road traffic collision at the weekend. And tell us your
that's
experience,
right,
and what you noticed, Paul.
Well, Greg, my son rung me and I landed at the scene and, well, the other third party rung the guards and took a wee bit longer to come, whatever. So what I done then, I rung the guards myself and was later, can I rung? But I think they said there were four guards come out, mm-hmm. whatever. And so I hung about on it. The guards landed, so I walked towards the guards and I said to them, I says, that's the first thing my insurance, and they asked me, yes, I says, and Monday morning, I says, you have to breathalyze both parties. And he says, oh, I says, that's not going, whatever, we don't have to do that. So I says, that's all right, that's, we'll let that go. So that was all right. The guards went to talk to the other party and talked to them. So me and my son was standing up the car and the guard come towards us and he says, we have to do a drug test. I says, right, I says, do you do a drug test in the other party? And he says, and can I get aggressive from the guard? And he says, no, I'm not. So I says, why? He says, I don't have to, he says. That's why I do it in one, not do it in the other. So that was all right.
And just an interesting thing, just one thing too as well, Paul, that you said in relation to that. You weren't asking the guard to check the other driver because you were under the suspicion that they were under the influence. Mm. It was about fairness here and equality too. You were saying, well, why would you do one and not the other? It's not that you suspected the other driver.
I wasn't saying, Greg, there was no issue. I would say the other driver, there was no issue with him other. Like, he had no, I'm actually of doing it other, I would say, you know. But that was all right. So asked the guard, asked, what happens if he doesn't do it now? He asks, you know, because here, well, he says, we're going to arrest him. Mm. Well, I said, so you're going to arrest him, but not do the other one. You know. And my son, he was even quite annoyed yesterday himself that he got done, you know, drug tested, and the other driver didn't get to.
And what about drink alcohol breath tests? There was none for either.
No alcohol mentioned. I said to Mass, I said to the guard, I said, when you do them now for the drug test, you may as well do them for the alcohol test.
Mm.
Never mentioned alcohol. You know. So that was all right, Greg. I was down talking to the driver, and the other driver had no issue at all. He told me, he said, I have no issue. He said, I'll do the drug test, whatever I have to do. And I was up to the guard, and the guard just ignored me.
Mm.
And, like, I watched the guards, watched the other driver leaving, watched the guards leaving. There was no alcohol, there was no drug test on the other driver. And I think it's totally a disgrace on the guard side.
Do you think that it was an age profile thing, that because your son's in the 20s
exactly,
and the other drivers...
Exactly, Greg.
Okay.
And sometimes, don't get me wrong, I'm not discriminating the old people either, but sometimes the older boys are nearly worse than the
young ones. He was only in his 50s now, settle yourself.
Yeah, like, you know what I mean? But yeah. But the man had no issue of doing it at all, like, you know what I mean?
Mm.
It was the issue with the guards that they weren't doing it. They just had a offence against the young fella, and that's just what it was.
Which in a way then sort of, I mean, I'm sure your son can work it out and maybe not judge all mm-hmm. by the one, but it would kind of then maybe thinking that the guards have it in for him and maybe lose a bit of respect for the guards. You know what I mean? I'm not putting words or thoughts in his mind.
Exactly. And the young fella, he's still traumatised with yesterday himself. If he got, you know, asked the guard, I have no issue getting it. He has no issue himself getting it done. But it's just the whole fact of doing one and not doing the other. You know, because the two parties are involved in this here. You know what I mean? I think it's a disgrace on the guard side, and the other thing, Greg, and when the other guard come over then, and I says, look, I says to the other guard, and I says, why not do the other man? No, why not test him? And the other guard, he says, how do you know I'm not going to test him? And I says, the other guard's after saying he's not doing them. He got aggressive, and he said he wasn't doing them. And he says, well, he says, that's on him.
Mm.
Fucking attitude, that, like, you know.
I thought there was mandatory drink testing, but I know they're planning to introduce mandatory drug testing as a game. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe at this point the guard has discretion. I don't know. I don't know what the story is in relation to it. But either, if you're going to do it for one, you do it for both, don't you?
You're right, Greg. Mm. That is right. So that's just this way I wanted to come on this morning, just to say I was annoyed myself at it, like, you know. Because if it had been myself, I would have gone to the bricks, and I wouldn't have done it to the other man too, but I made sure he'd done the other way.
Well, this is the situation as it stands. Mandatory drug testing for drivers involved in a serious collision is to come into effect ahead of the June bank holiday. From midnight Friday 31st, Gardaí will be required to test drivers involved in serious road traffic collisions for the presence of drugs in their system. It's already the case that Gardaí have to carry out mandatory alcohol testing for motorists involved in serious collisions. Right. That's it. What is it? Is it the guard then that makes... Is it the guard then that
he
makes
a decision
whether it's serious or not?
If he thought it wasn't serious... Don't do one, not do the other.
Mm.
You know, I think it's just unfair.
Yeah.
I had no issue of Leon getting it done, or my son getting it done, and or else, you know, and as I say, the other driver had no issue of getting it done, so it was an issue with the guard, wasn't doing it with the other. He just had a thing for the young fella.
Yeah, and could you see that this wasn't a serious collision yourself?
Wasn't serious. There was nobody hurt, Greg.
Yeah.
You know.
Okay.
You know,
so maybe
I mean? There was nobody
it comes
hurt,
down
like
to injury. Okay. But I that just seems a little bit strange. That I don't know how. There must be some determining factor for serious injuries. Maybe if people are removed to hospital or what have you. But your gripe, your son's gripe, is that he's just been age profiled there, and the only person in that collision that could possibly be under the influence of drug was the 20-year-old, and not the guy or the girl in her 50s.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, listen, we'll have a look and see if we can get a response from the Gardaí in relation to that. I mean, obviously, there's quite a bit of Gardaí discretion, but still, it doesn't seem fair. I think most people listening might feel...
It's not even that, Greg. When he said the word that he wasn't, he got aggressive with me.
Right, OK.
And I left it there, you know. He had an attitude.
Okay.
He definitely had an attitude.
All right, okay. All right, Paul, listen, you've been heard. Thanks very much indeed for that. Any views on that? WhatsApp or text to 086 60 25,000. Some more texts coming in, of course. Hi, Greg. A problem regarding the Donegal game next Sunday. New Leg Blessing of the Graves takes place next Sunday at 4 p.m. Same time as the semi-final. Is there any possibility it could be put back to 2:30 p.m. so people could get back in time to watch the game? I suppose that's at the discretion of the church, isn't it? The problem is there's Blessings of the Graves every weekend, I suppose, for the next while. I don't know who would be in charge of that. Normally they do move things around, but you could have people then travelling a distance or a plan to be there for 4 and 2:30 might not suit them. I don't know. Another here, just to mention, it's a joke, no parking, since footpaths are made wider and no fault to people with camper vans. They're taking up spaces at the pier and no facilities for them. This is in Donegal Town. They're putting the poor bikers off the diamond and them causing no harm. If anything, they're good for business and spend money in the restaurants and coffee shops. They are respectable people and tourists love them, looking at their bikes, and some of them stay in the hotels and B&Bs, contributing to the town. Again, another message adding to the pile in support of bikers, particularly, who have been effectively told don't park your bikes on the newly refurbished diamond in Donegal Town, that it's an inclusive space and so on and so forth. But still, again, the majority of people, in fact unanimously at this stage, in backing the bikers effectively. A caller says, re-driving. Young boys can drive a tractor at 16 to 17 years of age without doing a test. How can they drive on the road without a valid license? Well, they can't. You have to have a valid license. You can acquire a license at 16 to drive a tractor. I don't know how you know they don't have a license. New scam alert. There's a new WhatsApp scam where people are receiving a WhatsApp code followed by a text message from someone in their contact saying the code was sent to them in error and asking them to pass it on. Following this, everyone in their contact lists get the same message. Please do not send on any codes or respond to these messages if received. It is a scam. One caller had to disable their WhatsApp after mistakenly sending it on. Yeah, I see a lot of that too. I think I did see that one. Greg, my wife has put clothes in a charity shop, high-end clothes, only on her back once, to find them at a car boot sale. So tell them people to be careful because there's people out there that will take advantage of their kindness. Okay, this is in relation to, I see where you're coming from. This is in relation to perhaps the passing on of school uniforms that happened at the weekend. I suppose, I mean, if someone then goes and buys it in a charity shop, or is it free, and then they end up in a car boot sale? I can see where the problem is. I can see why people might not be happy about that. But if the charity shop gets the money through the sale, does that not work? Good morning, Greg, and the 9 till noon show team. A quick wee question. Have any Donegal businesses received either the first or the second increased cost of business grant yet? Any local ones in Inishowen I've spoken to have not yet, but I hear of businesses from other counties that have. Well, let's throw this out. Are you a business person in Donegal or Inishowen? Have you received either first or second increase cost of business grant yet? This listener hasn't, and they say there are other businesses in and around Inishowen that haven't received it either. I know that's not going to apply to many of you out there, but someone might be able to respond. Let us know. You know the numbers. Just in relation to the Donegal businesses receiving either the first or the second increase cost of business grants, this original contact came in late last week, and we'd put a contact into the council actually to follow it up, which I wasn't aware of. And the council have given us actual figures, and they say they've paid out a total of 3.6 million euro, a little more than that, 3.6 million euro under the increased cost of business grants to 2,084 related premises in the county. So that's actually really quite prolific, isn't it? 3.6 million to over 2,000 premises, rented premises in the county. So certainly that money is being sent. But obviously that other listener hasn't received it yet. Okay, my next guest is in studio with me. Alton Pringle, actor and writer. Good morning to you, Alton.
Good morning, Greg. Thank you for having
me. How are things going for you?
Good, they're going very well. I'm sitting here thinking, does the radio ever get any less nerve-wracking? No.
Does it?
Does it?
No,
I don't know, you
not
tell
for me.
It
no, doesn't. Okay, if I take a week off, it's like coming back and doing it for the first time, and my anxiety pings. But
okay,
you get into it in a moment.
Yeah, perfect.
Chill.
I'm
breathe
chill. I'm
in
chill
through
now.
The nose,
yeah,
out
yeah.
through the mouth.
Yeah. Just like going on stage.
Yes, exactly. Oh, is it? It's like, you see, it's where you're comfortable, isn't it? Because yeah. I don't mind doing this, to be honest with you. And anyone could walk in here, and I could meet anyone out and about. You know, okay. people that others might go, "Ooh, I'm a bit nervous about that."
Yeah.
But if you ask me to speak in public or to compare something, I do it, but it's not my comfort zone. I'm not happy. And people would be very surprised with that. But we're complex characters, us humans, aren't we?
Yeah, and aren't more people afraid of public speaking than are apparently afraid of death? Mm. There was a statistic about that.
Yes.
Well, what I think is so easy about stage is you just get your first laugh and then suddenly you're not nervous anymore.
Really, it's that simple.
Although but one night last week I didn't get my first laugh and then I panicked.
But, but I suppose when you do a show a couple of times, you kind of know where things are going to land and hit. But I suppose audiences are so diverse, aren't they? All over the county, different backgrounds and different sensibilities and what have you. Boyfriends is in on Green on Theatre Letterkenny this Thursday, the 11th of July, and runs until Saturday, the 13th of July at 8 p.m. presumably inclusive. So it's on Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Yeah,
all right, absolutely. Okay, brilliant. Right, what's the story about?
Story is about two anonymous fellas. We never find out their names, and it follows their 4-month situationship. Do you know what a situationship
is? Yes, I do. How old do you think I am?
Okay, there you go. That's good. Most people say they don't know what a situationship is.
Oh, I do. Yes, yeah.
But basically, it's a situationship is sort of it's that stage of a relationship where you haven't spoken about it and you're not committing yet.
Are we boyfriend and girlfriend?
Yeah.
Are
we, what
are we exclusive?
Yeah,
are
yeah. And kind of the conversation never happens. For
am
these
I obsessed
two men.
With you and you don't like me?
Yeah, yeah. But that never goes away. But then the show follows their 4 months of their situationship where they kind of are trying to reckon with and have this conversation that really, I don't think it's a spoiler to say they never actually have the conversation about what they are. But we just follow their 4 months anyway and their kind of romance and their. There's Madonna songs, there's calorie counting, there's kissing and lots of jokes.
And what's the story about, though, when you dig into it? Is it about our insecurities? Is it about modern day relationships?
Yeah, I think it's really questioning. I think the play is full of questions and no answers. And I don't know if that's I haven't worked out after 2 weeks doing it in Dublin if that's a cop out or not. But that basically it follows their 4 months. It's about their relationship, how their bodies are relating to each other. They're two very different men. One of them is very sculpted or chiseled, as the one the review said, and I'm the less than chiseled one of the two.
I wasn't going to ask.
That's what the review said. I couldn't argue with them. But so it follows how they relate to their bodies, how they relate to the world they're living in, their careers, where they're at now, and kind of it really questions and I think is thinking about how do we have romance in a world where romance has been sucked out of it, it seems, and kind of it seems the only way to have romance now is to be on an app, which are run by tech barons who want to keep you on that app. They don't actually want you to leave it. Mm-hmm. And what does that do to romance and intimacy, and how do we kind of cultivate that now?
And is there a significance to the different body shapes of the two?
I think so. I think the whole play, you could take the words out of it, and I think it's about how they relate to each other. I mean, the very, very start, the other wonderful actor, Manuel Okoye, says to my character, "You're not my type. If I just looked at you, I never would have spoken to you." And I think that maybe colours the entire interaction they have over the 90 minutes of like how their bodies are in conversation and kind of what we think about bodies now in this kind of bizarre Ozempic culture where like everything's about losing weight. And like, it's about that. I mean, it's been about that for 30, 40 years, but.
Yeah, because there's, I mean, obviously, you know, we have sort of societal attitude to what is a good body or what's not a bad body, right? Mm. But it doesn't really matter, or does it matter? Because then you could have an individual who to 100 people looks for fantastic, the perfect body, but they look at themselves and see their flaws
and they're
not happy.
Yeah.
You might have someone who doesn't fit the social norms and is very genuinely very comfortable in themselves. So sort of, you know, obviously I think it's agitated by the way things are with social media and Love Island and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But I think we've always perhaps struggled with the love of ourselves, you know?
But we are taught that from an early age. I mean, I think back growing up in the 2000s, it was all people talked about was weight. I remember being 7 years old when I asked, could I go on my first diet? Because you were seven, but you were so cognizant of it. But with this play, I was maybe more interested in how the other fella, who is very beautiful and very chiselled, how his insecurities about his own body is.
And who's the cast? Who picked the cast?
The director, Joy Nesbitt.
All right, okay. So you can't take any credit.
No, it wasn't me, don't worry. No, really, it wasn't me.
Sorry, go ahead.
But yeah, so it's myself and Emmanuel Okoye. But he's very obsessed with his body, and we see the kind of arduous difficulty he goes through to have the body he has and how that's impacting his life in difficult ways, and calorie counting, MyFitnessPal, all these different
things. Is there any pleasure in it? you know, is there any pleasure in it for him, you know, having the great body?
I don't know, because I think he really feels that he's just a commodity, and he feels that he's been made into just this body that people are interested in and people find beautiful. Whereas my character, I don't think, finds himself beautiful, but he never talks about it. He really will not ever admit that he struggles with how he looks. Mm-hmm. But it's there between these two fellas all
the time.
So
do you have to find then in that way a way of sort of relating that without actually sort of expressing it? Which I would say is the sign of good writing. Isn't
it? The way
so the audience gets it, but you don't necessarily, or maybe you do say, I don't know.
No, exactly. I thought a lot about how it's physicalized in this play. My character never once talks about, there's one moment towards the end where he maybe mentions an insecurity about his body, but you should be able to get it from the first 5 minutes that this is somebody who's, he's very presentational and he puts himself out in a certain way, but he is thinking about this a lot. And how can you subtextually put that underneath the entire play and see how it bubbles up in strange ways between the two of them?
So the question is, and I suppose, is there an answer? What is romance anyway?
Yeah.
There's as many answers as you want, is there?
Yeah, I don't know if I came to an answer in the play. Yeah. I think it ain't, maybe that's a cop-out, but it was something that somebody said to us after the show in Dublin, was that it seems like a State of a Generation play, and a play that's really thinking about Gen Z and the snowflake generation and how, what is romance for us and intimacy. And I think I quite like that the play doesn't come to an answer on it. I think it maybe gestures towards different sort of thoughts on like, how could these men actually have made something, but it never actually tells you.
And I wonder if a generation, let's say Gen Z, for an example, if they would prefer if it were a simpler answer. Do you know what I mean?
Like, yeah, definitely.
You know, romance, love, anything like that, I think it's always been a complication right from the very beginning. It's just now, I think it's even more so.
It's even worse. And I don't know if you'll agree with me on this, Craig. I feel like, I think Gen Z, everyone talks about it, that they're the first generation that I've, the promise of life isn't going to fulfill for them. We're the first generation that won't be able to achieve what our parents did.
Yeah.
And I wonder, is romance another aspect of that, where you're living in this stratified world, this neoliberal world, where we're all being shoved into our own homes and care about your own money at the end of the week. Mm. And there's a lack of community or something, or a communion happening between people.
Is there a lack of commitment as well too, I wonder? Well, because I do speak to people and you see it on socials as well, whereby, you know, you still get a proportion of the Gen Z that do want the tradition. And you can have that tradition, by the way, in any combination of genders, right? I'm not on about the sort of the old school tradition of that. But that it's hard to find someone else that you're attracted to, that you find appealing, but also wants to commit to you in the same way that you might want.
Is it
you know,
choice?
And it'd be tough, like, that would be tough if that's what you want, because you're going from one person to another potentially looking for that. Yeah. You can't, I mean, that's something you're trying to figure out in the situationship, right? If this person is the same as you, and then is that another 4 months down the toilet, you know?
Yeah, but also I wonder how much of it is also just we're spoiled for choice now as well. Of like,
speak for yourself.
Well, I'm not speaking for myself.
I'm only joking. I'm happy.
Okay. Well, the idea of like, you know, at any moment if somebody's not right for you, say if you meet somebody and maybe the one thing happens that's annoying, you can go on your phone and start swiping again.
It's just relationships seem very disposable at the moment. Yeah, you know, like a washing machine now, you can get one for $2.50 and you know, you don't have to fix it, you just replace it with another one that you can open the lid and put your washing in halfway
very
through.
Nice,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't know where that metaphor is in relationships.
but I get it. It's crystal clear.
And you wrote this yourself, did
yes,
you?
Yes.
Okay, so how long is that process? Like, do you start with a storyboard? Do you sort of have a, you know, I would like, this is a scenario, and it could be triggered by real life experiences or somebody else's, and you say, right, I want to write a story around this scenario, or I presume it's different each work, but just in relation to
usually they are sort of like the character's voice appears. I know this sounds like a really annoying writer thing, where suddenly you see an image or a character's voice appears and you just start following it, and then it kind of develops from that. And with this one, because they're called A and B and there's no names in the play, it was just line after line, and suddenly it was really clear it was a situation.
Can I ask you what the significance of them having no names for the purpose of the play, if that makes sense?
I just thought names have such a power. And when I'm writing, I love to use a name. I love when a character says another person's name, and I just thought, what if we never figure them out? They never say it. There's one character named in the play, and that's my brother in the play, who has passed away. You figure out in the first 5 minutes. So there's a whole element of grief to the play as well. But No, I just never wanted them to say each other's names. I just, it was such a challenge to write it. And even sometimes in rehearsals, you would be like, God, I wish I could just say this man's name.
I know what you're saying. But at the end of the day, is that where we're ending up, that even the name becomes irrelevant? Okay, yeah. I don't know. But it's like everything, people can take from that what they want.
Yeah, exactly.
You leave that up to the audience. You have in your mind what you wanted to get across, but the audience then can sort of
and I think
out that means.
Also, you can only describe them by their bodies then.
Yes.
So there's no name for them. So you're talking about the one with the curly hair or the one who with the locks or whatever. You know, like it becomes more about what you're looking at rather than them actually being named, I think.
Now, what kind of a show is it? You said there's music there, you know, how would you describe the audience experience of sitting watching
it? I think it's
it?
A bit frothy. It's a little bit of a fizzy kind of a show. It is kind of a rom-com. Somebody described it in Dublin as a bittersweet rom-com that'll break your heart. And I think if you have a heart, hopefully it'll be broken this Thursday, Friday or Saturday. But it is, it's fizzy, it's frothy, it's trying a lot of different things. It's really interested in period dramas, in rom-coms, in sitcoms. It's trying a lot of stuff out. It's funny. There's tragedy to the play as well, but it is, I want you to have a fizzy fun time where you can buy into these two men and maybe root for them and hate them at the same time.
You know what I mean? Even to get a show reviewed is in of itself is a good sign, isn't it? The fact that the reviews are positive is just gravy.
The fact that the reviews are very nice, But I don't know. I don't know if it's a Donegal thing or not, where I'm like, oh, well, they're being too generous
100%.
There now.
It's 100% Donegal thing.
Good, I'm glad.
I like particularly South Donegal.
Well, you're just saying, oh, no, they're just being too nice to me. They're making it
they're
up
just
a bit.
Saying that. Yeah.
The reviews have been very nice. It's been wonderful, but
listen, we don't want to feel the ire of any of them, but they can be brutal too. They're not in the game of massaging our egos, are they?
Yeah.
Right, it's this Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Do you want to sort of prescribe an audience for it or leave it up to the public themselves or what?
I think we had a huge swath of different people coming to see it in Dublin. We had a lot of younger people and a lot of older people, and everyone seemed to be really responding to it. Some of the jokes landed better for the younger generation, but also somebody told me that a lot of the references in the play are built for a 75-year-old woman. So I don't know if that's a compliment for me or not, but there's a lot there and there's a lot happening.
Well, good writing will cross generations for the most part.
Hopefully.
All right, Alton, listen, well done. Very
Thanks
exciting.
Very much.
It's great. Is it great to bring something home? I don't know, there's sort of a...
It's slightly terrifying.
Yeah, I was going to say, because they are your, you know, you might not know the crowd individually, but they are your people, so to speak.
And I suppose you have to kind of prove now that what you've been doing in Dublin for the last 3 years is worth
just
it.
Winging it.
And then hopefully it is worth it. I hope so.
Well, listen, we wish you nothing but continued success. Boyfriends is in Angrian Theatre, Letterkenny. It's on Thursday the 11th. That's this coming Thursday, of course, Friday. And then on Saturday, it's at 8 p.m. The tickets are inexpensive. It's €16, €12. And go along and enjoy it. And it's an interesting story, no doubt. But what did you describe as bubbly, fizzy?
Frothy and fizzy. Yeah, that's okay. That's my tagline.
Well, you see how I situationship's no problem. Okay. I'm trying to find out what frothy and fizzy means.
That's a terrible tagline, Greg.
But listen, career, we can do that. We can do that in the front row. All right. And good to see you getting backing from the Arts Council on this as well.
Thank you very much.
All right. Alton, listen, we're all very proud of you. Well done. Continued success. Hopefully it's packed houses on Thursday, Friday and Saturday. And as I say, we look forward to all your future work as well.
Thank you.
All right, that's Alton Pringle there, actor and writer, back with more shortly. Hi, Greg. I received my small grant on the 1st of this month. I don't know if... I'll read the business name because they've texted it in and it might give them a wee plug. Janine Cuts for Mutt's Dog Grooming, Bridgend. Okay, thanks very much for that. Paul's issue is interesting. This is Paul, whose son was involved in a road traffic collision at the weekend. Thankfully, no one was injured. It wasn't serious. But Paul's son was tested for drugs. The other driver, who he suggests is in his 50s, wasn't. Paul thought, well, this isn't fair. Why are you testing my son in his 20s and not the driver in his 50s? And neither were tested for alcohol. But this caller says, Paul's issue is interesting. We were in a similar situation. My daughter was in an accident, a collision, not caused by her, but she was the one tested for alcohol and the other driver wasn't. We arrived at the scene and asked for the other driver to be tested, but he wasn't. Right, that's two people with two very similar situations. Okay, interesting. Okay, so we were speaking about the arts on the stage. Let's talk about arts on the screen. Aideen Dohertys of the Donegal Film Office with Donegal County Council. Good morning, Aideen.
Good morning, Greg. How are you?
I'm doing good. Now, the recipients of the 2024 Donegal Film Bursary have been announced. This was funded. This is funded by Creative Ireland. And the award is about supporting stories told by local people. Right, so who are the recipients? And tell us a bit about it.
Okay, so the recipients are Shannon Welby, Bevan Nocton, and Connor Richmond. And they are, Shannon and Bevan are both from Donegal and Connor is from the Nevada. And they basically have put forward a script that was written by Shannon, which is a local story about a Donegal taxi driver who basically is the eyes and ears of the community. And at Christmas time, where he witnesses the festive period of young people and immigrants are returning temporarily, he basically plays a mischievous role in their lives, looking at Donegal characters and Donegal humour. So that's the script kind of around it. And their intention is to employ as many people locally and to use as many services locally in terms of making this short film.
Brilliant stuff. Okay. Shannon is the screenwriter. Bevan Nocton is the director. Connor Richmond has strong connections to Donegal and the film industry. And it's an interesting bursary in that, you know, it recognises, I suppose, the work people have already done in their chosen field, but also to recognise maybe what they may go on to achieve as well.
It really is, and it's about, I suppose, profiling our young people that are starting out in the county and making sure that they're in a space where they're able to compete nationally and, you know, and pitch into to national festivals and hopefully internationally as well. So it's a great opportunity to see, you know, the decision that they've made to kind of be here in Donegal and to, you know, be retained in Donegal and that they want to be around the industry here locally. And that's a real coup because it's something that, you know, every county in the country is trying to do. And to have people of that calibre living here is just phenomenal for the industry. And, you know, they're the kind of people that as they move on in life will make a massive contribution. And really what we're trying to do is profile them at an early stage of their careers.
Yeah, in September, we, as part of Irish Music Month, will be running our competition to find sort of the Donegal entrant to go on and compete nationally. And it's difficult to pick the winner. And we always have a great winner. But what that doesn't tell is the full story. It's the dozens on dozens, hundreds, in fact, of submissions that are of an incredibly high standard. And it's no joke to say, you know, 15, 20 of them could be the winner. It's very, very hard to whittle it down to one or one group of individuals. So what does does the quality of applications for this tell us about the talent pool out there?
Okay, so what we do in terms of making the determination is it's an external panel to the council. I don't get involved at all. I simply, you know, qualify them on the basis that they're from the county. And that's very important to us, is that there has to be a producer, director or writer associated with the project who's living in the county. And that's the piece of work I do. And what happens is those scripts are sent without anybody's name on them to the panel. And the panel read them on the basis of a script only. So that's the only information they get initially. Once they have made a determination and they get together and they make a determination of the top five as they see it, they then get information on the production component, still no names involved. And it's only when they kind of come around to the kind of making their decision that they finally find out who the people are behind it. You know, and I suppose that's the fairest way to do it, so that there's no influence in relation to who's behind what. And, you know, we got an enormous response again. I mean, in the last 4 years, Greg, we've had over 100 scripts come in to the film office in this space. And as I said, the calibre of people that are presenting their work is incredible. And interestingly, we're getting quite a lot of people from outside the county now interested in this as well, who are also looking to promote local producers and local production companies.
Fantastic.
And I suppose that's where one of the areas currently that we're in a bit of a, I suppose, a backfoot slightly in Donegal, and we probably don't have enough producers living locally and we don't have enough production companies. So
that's I suppose the whole plan is to build up, and we've talked about this in the past, is to build up the sort of ecosystem that means that the talent that we do have but unfortunately aren't based or working here see the potential and are living and working out of this part of the world.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, last Monday we had a networking day with the National Talent Academy in Bundoran. You know, in the advent of Obituary Season 2 coming back, we wanted to get a sense of who's here and who's interested. And 67 people turned up to that last Monday morning in Bundoran, you know. So there, and that's, you know, obviously there were some people who travelled significant distance to be to that, but most of that was in the southwest of the county. So, you know, it is interesting when you coast one of these things to suddenly discover that there's everybody that could support the industry is here. And I suppose as we move forward, we need to try and sustain that in a way that is meaningful. And in fact, this week we were looking at it at the FLA, in where Donegal is being featured as a region that is sustaining, you know, film production currently. You know, if we look at it over the last number of years, in 2023, there was $9.3 million spent directly in screen production in the county through film, TV, commercials. You know, and that's employing local people as crew and cast and extras.
Okay.
We're using local accommodation services and facilities. And, you know, then you have the likes of the Disappear Here and Rathmullen Film Festivals as well that are promoting the work of young people across mm-hmm. the county and showcasing, you know, films of, you know, issue orientated. And then also the National Talents Academy training that continues here in the county. And Polka Productions did a wonderful piece earlier last year, and that's going to be repeated this year, where it's looking at bringing script to screen in short, you know, using smartphones and smartphone technology.
Okay, Aidan,
so there's lots of things going on.
Yeah, the future is bright. All right, keep us in the loop. Thanks very much for that. Lovely to chat to you. Aidan Doherty, Aideen Doherty there of the Donegal Film Office with Donegal County Council.